ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्नीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 53 and 54। दिस इज स्पोकन बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा, ही इज द चीफ ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स। समटाइम्स लॉर्ड शिवा इज स्पोकन ऑफ एज द चीफ ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स बिकॉज ही इज कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनली मोर पावरफुल। But generally, Brahma is spoken of as the head because Lord Shiva appears from him. So he's, even though Lord Shiva is constitutionally greater than Brahma, he is officially in the position of his son. Just like Krishna is greater than Devaki and Vasudeva, but constitutionally he's greater than them, but he appears as their son. So sometimes he gives respect to them. So Brahma is considered the leader of the demigods. He also has a more prominent role in the universal hierarchy because Lord Shiva, he's somewhat withdrawn. Lord Shiva is in Kailash and he's meditating and just waiting for the end of the time for cosmic destruction, when he does his Tandava Nitya. He dances, and then by his dancing the whole universe is destroyed. So generally, seen that Lord Brahma, he's overseeing the overseers of the universe, or the demigods. And when the demigods have any particular problem they can't sort out, they go to see Lord Brahma. And then if he can't sort it out, he goes to see Lord Vishnu, who is the overall head. So Brahma, he's the head of the demigods. Therefore, Durvasa Muni is approaching him for relief. Now Lord Brahma, he is the head of the demigods. Demigods are called Sakama Bhaktas. That means they have some material desire. They're devotees, but they have some material desire to fulfill. Now we see that Lord Brahma, he is devoted from this statement. Even though he's in charge of the universe, he knows actually who's in charge. He knows who the real boss is. That is Lord Vishnu. And he knows what are his limits. Even though he's very powerful, even though he's been given the position of hands-on manager of the universe. Actually, himself, he doesn't do that. He's not that much active. He's a little withdrawn compared to other demigods. But he's overseeing everything. But he knows his limits. He hasn't become proud that I am the ultimate controller. That is the difference between Lord Brahma being a leader and anyone else taking any position of authority, in which they become very proud. And if you see someone who's the head of some small country, or the head of some municipality, like a mayor or something like that, the tendency is to become proud. That I am, you see, here I'm the boss, I'm the top person. But Lord Brahma has far more power than we can imagine. We give importance to someone like Clinton or Yeltsin because they are the heads of powerful countries on this earth. But there's absolutely no comparison to Brahma's position. Now, you see, either the tract of land that they're supposed to be in charge of is just a speck in the universe. Although America or Russia may appear to be very great nations on this earth, they're just a speck in the whole universe, which is controlled by Lord Brahma. And also their positions, which they have, they're only for a very short time. You can only be President of America for 8 years, and Prime Ministers of Britain or some other country, they don't last that long. So here in India, it's also a big country. Second most populated country in the world. But Prime Minister, they won't last. It's not likely they'll last 8 years. They'll either get voted out, die, or get assassinated. They don't last. But Lord Brahma, he's saying at the end of the Dviparardha, that means that's the two phases, day and night, of which makes up one day and one night of Lord Brahma. What's that verse in Gita? It describes Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidhu. What's the rest of the verse? It says that one day, 1,000 ages taken together, is considered one day of Lord Brahma. Teho Ratra Janavi. And one, and that's also the duration of his night. So the duration of Brahma's one day is 1,000 ages. I mean, just 1,000 ages means, we have Kali, it's like now we're in Kali Yuga, it's 432,000 years. And the Dwarapa Yuga is twice as long. So it's 4,433,000 years. Time, what is it? 7, 8, 1, 3, 6, 10, yeah, so it's 4,320,000 years. That's one age, and 1,000 times that. So 4,320,000 years times 1,000 times 2, because day and night, they're both the same duration. That's the day of Lord Brahma. And his month is 30 days, 12 months to a year, and he lives for 100 years. So his lifetime is very long. It's not. See, someone's very proud, I'm the Prime Minister of England or Prime Minister of India, but it's just a flick. Our whole life is just that Lord Brahma blinks. And that's our whole lifespan. His life is so long compared to ours. But he's not proud, even though it seems that he's the immovable leader of the universe. But he knows, my time is also limited. You see here, Vyasa Muni is approaching him and he says, actually, you're approaching me as if I'm the boss of the universe. I'm only here temporarily. Temporarily, we can't imagine how long his life is. But because he's Brahma, he's intelligent. He knows that I'm just in a temporary position. I'm not here permanently. There's that story of Markandeya Rishi. He lived such a long life that every day of Brahma, one hair would fall. His body is head is completely covered in hairs. Was that him or some other Rishi? Lomasha Rishi. One hair would fall out. And when all his hairs had fallen out, then only he would leave his body. So he's meditating on the side of the river. Someone said, well, why don't you build a hut? It's so hot and in the winter it's so cold. At least you should build a hut. He said, I'm only here temporarily. I'm not going to be here very long. So what's the use? Why end up? So this is, then we come to Einstein's relativity theory. Everything is relative to something else. That what is very long for one person may seem very short to another. The ant's lifetime to him seems like a very long life. One ant may meet another as they're wandering here. They meet each other. Long life to you. Long life to you. Charanjeevi ho. Hare Krishna. So long life, that means, yes, he's a very long-lived ant. He's already 3 days old. Very, very senior ant in our community. I don't know how long ants live. Or someone we see now, they have, looking in the Guinness Book of Records, who's the oldest person? 140 years old. Very long life. 140 years of being completely in Maya. Someone may live that long. But demigods, they're living for a much longer time. We're surprised. We hear such stories that, oh, demigods are living for thousands and millions of years. Vishwamitra Muni is meditating for 60,000 years. How is that possible? Why not? Why should we measure everything by our own vision? This is the fault of modern science. They only want to accept what they can see. Show me. Show me God. As if seeing is the only way to understand. There's so many things we can't see. You see the ant, if you could communicate with the ant and you could try to tell him that there are living beings whose bodies are thousands of times bigger than yours, that means a human being. And they live for a tremendous span. They can't understand, even though the ant is crawling in the same room. But we are so much, our bodies are so much bigger, he can't understand until we tread on it. And then it's too late for them to understand anything. So they're in a completely different level. Brahma, in the same way, Brahma is in a completely different level from us. We hear so many things, how Brahma creates mental sons from his own mind, he desires. Let there be the mental sons of Brahma, Narad, Marichi, Daksha, Brighu, Pulastya, these are all. Kratu is also one of the mental sons of Brahma. Angira, these are all mental sons of Lord Brahma. So just by his desiring, they're manifested. By his desiring, that means Krishna has given him that facility by which he can create sons from his mind. So he has so much abilities which we can't even imagine. Now we're very proud that we can take some embryo from the test. Someone should answer this question. We can make a test tube baby or some cloned rakshasa we want to make. Some human being by some cloning method. But Lord Brahma simply desiring, let there be a son. What kind of son? Not cloning some rakshasa type human being, but highly intelligent, self-controlled rishis. So Brahma, he is so much greater. We cannot even imagine how much greater. We give so much importance to some political ruler. We think he is so great. But, see, how great Brahma. But his greatness has come because he recognizes that he is actually insignificant compared to Krishna. Therefore, he's allowed to take this position. Someone like Hiranyakashipu wanted to control the universe. But he was superficially allowed to, but only for a short time. Someone like Hiranyakashipu is not given charge of the universe. See, Brahma, he is in charge of the universe. Why? Because he's a very pious living being. That means he must have performed austerities. He must have worshipped the Lord. He must have been very self-controlled. Therefore, he's allowed to be Brahma. So Hiranyakashipu is also self-controlled, performed austerities. But he's not a devotee. Therefore, he's not allowed to take the position of Lord Brahma. Only a devotee. That is the ultimate piety. Real piety means to be a devotee of Lord Vishnu. So he's allowed to take that position. He has some material desire to lord over the universe, but at the same time, he's a devotee of Krishna. So Krishna doesn't allow just anybody. Even though they may be very self-controlled, they may be very great in so many ways. But Krishna allows only his devotees to take this position. So that position of Lord Brahma, that is above even the demigods. Generally by pious activities, some people want to get the position of devas. Then they can enjoy in the heavenly planet. This Swarga Sukh. They can enjoy the apsaras. The heavenly planets are described that it's very nice, the weather is very nice, and women are very nice, and everyone is very healthy and strong. And they can enjoy life. But that the position of Brahma is far, far above. And even Indra's position is high, but even above the heavenly planets are the Janaloka, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Satyaloka, the planets of the rishis. So they are higher because they are more elevated in consciousness. They are simply meditating. They are not interested in the enjoyment of this material world, but they are simply on those planets meditating, performing austerities. So at the top of all those planets, on four planetary systems above the heavenly planets, sits Lord Brahma. And he's Kamalasana. He's known as Kamalasana. Sitting on the lotus flower which sprouted from the navel of Lord Vishnu. So mostly he's engaged in meditation, worship of the Lord, associating with other highly advanced spiritual personalities. And at the same time he's overseeing the activities of the universe. Here, Durvasa Muni has approached him. So he doesn't try to do the impossible. He doesn't make impossible promises like the politicians do. They have little power and they promise so much that we will Garibi Hatao, was Indira Gandhi's one of her slogans. That we'll drive out poverty. It's not within her power. because people are poor because of their karma. So a slogan, it sounded good. She got the garib, she got the poor people's vote. And they become a little less garib by being bribed to get the vote. But they remain garib. Even though you see that karma, you cannot change them. You see some people, they're very intelligent, hard-working. They want to become rich, but they're simply struggling. They can hardly maintain themselves and their families. And someone else, they have no business sense. But somehow or other, they become rich. It's all due to karma. You can't change people's karma by making plans to help the poor, all these foolish things. They'll remain poor. That also depends on their consciousness. Even if you try to make people rich by giving them grants and loans, if they're in poor consciousness, then they'll simply take the money and drink it. That you see. You give loans to the poor people so that they're supposed to start some small business. But instead they benefit someone else's business by some wine shop business, by drinking it all away. So you can't actually help people except by lifting up their consciousness. And in this way, Brahma is overseeing the universe. He's mainly concerned with elevation of consciousness. He's not so much directly involved in the day-to-day affairs, but he's meditating and sitting with the other great rishis, and is concerned with uplift of consciousness. So that is the most important. That is subtle. People can't see that. They can't understand that. People are, in the modern age, on a very gross platform. They think we'll make different plans, we'll build dams, and we'll make different plans for distribution of wealth and taxes, and so many different plans to uplift the people, but they don't realize that the real way to uplift the whole situation is by improving the consciousness of the people. That even if you have so many material facilities, if the consciousness of the people is not good, then it'll be just like hell. Just like if we tell people in India that life in the West is just like hell, they can't understand it because they know there's so much facilities there. It's a fact. There are so many facilities in the West. The roads are smooth and there are plenty of them and they're wide enough and there's plenty of cars and there's facility for air conditioning in the summer and heating in the winter. All kinds of facilities are there. Money is, you don't have to carry money around, you just carry plastic, these cards, and you don't have to spend money, it's all just your card is there. So it's all very developed for comfortable living. But it's just like hell, because the consciousness of the people is so low. The consciousness of the people is simply to exploit the resources of nature for their enjoyment. And therefore you get things just like now. It's become a very common thing in America that school-going children just shoot, get a gun and kill lots of people. The other day I was in Dubai, I saw the paper. In America, in three completely different places, on the same day, there were incidents where children, 15 years old, 13 years old, went to school with a gun and just shot a whole bunch of people dead. And, they want to say, America is charging India that you're destroying the peace. Well, look in your own backyards. There's no peace. Even you bring up your, people bring up their darling little child. Oh, my nice child. He grows up. 12 years later, he's shooting people. Because why? Because the consciousnesses, they've made all material facilities. But the consciousness of the people is lower than animals. And even animals don't do that. They don't indiscriminately kill others. Animals also kill. But only a snake kills without discrimination. And then only the worst of animals, the snake, will sometimes just bite someone for no reason. Even then there's usually some provocation. So what kind of society we develop, in Prabhupada said, is simply cats and dogs. And people, they protest. And what strong words Prabhupada is using. But you're saying cats and dogs, but actually that's a compliment. To call them cats and dogs is actually a compliment, because cats and dogs, they bark at each other, but they don't wantonly destroy each other. So this example Prabhupada gave is, what is the use of this United Nations? If you bring a bunch of dogs and put them together, they'll simply bark. There'll never be peace. So how can you have peace if you're all in dog-like consciousness? So how can there possibly be peace? This is the situation in this fashion. You have to develop your consciousness. And then if your consciousness is developed, then one thing is, in any situation you can be happy. And another thing is, if the consciousness is developed, then the material progress which comes after that will be very nice. The present material progress we have, just like building huge apartment buildings, and there's no place to walk, and there's no place for your children to play, and you're just crammed up with no space. And this kind of material progress, it's just developed on the simply how can we make better economic development. But if the consciousness is developed, you see just what kind of towns they'll have. You see, Krishna is also living in a city, but there are so many parks, and gardens, and the homes are designed very nicely, aesthetically, you see. Now they have these big buildings. They're horrible. They're just big blocks, some big monolithic block. But actually, the houses should be designed very nicely so they're pleasing to look at. They blend nicely with the countryside. Not that it's something horrible to look at. So all this material development, that will follow naturally, nicely, if there is development of consciousness, purified consciousness. So this reason, Brahma, he is meditating for the benefit of the universe. And those who want to be benefited in that way, they'll take instructions in the Brahma Sampradaya. How to develop our consciousness. This is the point. We're not against development. But they're simply making development. What they call development means digging things out of the earth and changing them, bringing up oil with great difficulty, risking their lives, polluting the sea, and bringing oil up. And then converting it into plastic and making so many useless things, like plastic ducks. Children take a bath and they have a plastic duck floating. So much effort went to make that silly plastic duck. And they're making this nylon saris and everyone thinks, oh, very advanced. But it's very hot to wear, very dangerous in the kitchen. You'll burn yourself to death. So they think this is advancement because you don't have to iron it. You don't have to work. You don't have to do the work of iron. Look at the danger. So everything, they're simply trying to develop and make progress. But our Krishna conscious movement says, develop progress, develop your consciousness. Everything will follow nicely from that. And if you don't do that, if you simply make the goal of your life economic development, then you'll simply become worse than cats and dogs. And the evidence is that. And people, you see in the West especially, they have money, plenty of money, all kinds of facilities. But they don't know even how to talk to each other or how to behave with each other. Let alone what the goal of life is. So Brahma, he's highly situated government officer. Topmost position in the government of the universe. But he's not become unduly proud because of that. He's not bewildered about the purpose of life. He's able to tell the Rasa Muni immediately, what is the situation? You've come to me for shelter. In this instance, I cannot give it to you because I am also under the same threat as you. You're under threat of death, I also. I am not deathless. I'm not under immediate threat of death, but all of us have to leave these bodies. Because we're all under the control of the time factor, which is under the control.